Welcome to another episode of Fringe
Beyond Limits.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Pretty?
Fantastical.
You say that too much.
No, I don't. I haven't said that one yet.
You have.
No, I haven't. I say peachy.
I listen to all of our episodes more than once.
Good for you.
And you've said that several times.
Well, you know what? Tough luck. Maybe it's your favorite word.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's not mine.
Well, too bad, Charlie Brown.
Jeez. Happy New Year, you fuckers. So, I guess we're in the new year.
Yeah.
The world did not end.
Not yet. Nope.
All right. Well, we still have 364 days to see if it does in 2025.
Yep.
Hopefully it does.
Yeah.
Just start all over. That's what I think.
You know, after 2019, I felt like a whole bunch of people in the world were like, God, I can't wait for 2019 to be over. And then 2020 is going to be different. And it sure was.
Yeah.
And I feel the same with 2024. We're like, fuck, this year ended over. And now it's like, well, it's been, careful what you wish for.
It's been like that for a lot of years since 2019.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's so weird that it's just been shit.
Well, I still have my fingers crossed that it's going to be a good one.
Yeah. All right. Well, can you cross your toes for us too?
I can.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good. All right. Bree?
Hmm?
You awake over there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Good. So how was everyone's holiday?
A little low-key this year.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was good. It was relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't had our family Christmas yet.
So. No, not yet.
What sort of fires are you going to start at your family Christmas?
Oh.
Well, just you wait and see.
You know, I always have a few things up my sleeve.
Oh, boy. Especially because Frank's hosting it here.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it's going to be here.
And how many trips to the adult toy store did you go?
Oh, mom is the word until afterwards.
Okay.
So, at least
does it light up?
You know what? It might.
Oh, boy. Okay.
It might be a glow stick.
Okay.
It might be just a nightlight.
Mm, okay.
You know, I would love to see a vulva-shaped nightlight.
Gross.
What?
You know what? This is what I wish for. I want a board game, like Operation, right? When you hit the sides, like the nose light up. I would like it for what?
I just want to know where you're going with this, but I also like don't. This
for teenage boys.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the vagina. And when you hit the G spot, the clit lights up.
Oh, God. What if teenage girls want to play that game?
Listen,
too?
That's fine. But I'm pretty sure teenage women already know how it works down there.
This is coming from the guy that says a G spot doesn't exist.
No, a clitoris doesn't exist. That's
what
why
it was. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't. That's why that's what lights up, because it's imaginary and you need to light it up to show where it
You're
is.
You're just doing it wrong. You're just doing it wrong.
Listen, there's been so many scientific papers written on how the clitoris does not exist.
What, by Mark Mattel, the game company?
Yeah, Mattel. You know,
Milton Bradley.
what other toy games are there?
I don't know.
There are toy companies. I can't remember. But yeah, it's a myth.
Okay. Well, okay.
There's no such thing.
Well, at least for your Christmas gift, can you record the reaction of the present you give?
Yeah, I could probably do that.
Hide a secret camera somewhere.
Yeah. You know what I did last time we hosted? Last time we hosted, I put everything in a gift bag.
Mm-hmm.
So in big writing on the gift bag, I said two person's name. I don't want to give it out. Two person's name from your son-in-laws. And
Plural.
Yeah. And I put it, the bag, on my mantle. So when everybody walked in, it's all on display.
Okay.
Because, you know, it needs, everyone needs to know what's going to happen later.
Yeah.
And it's a toy show.
Okay.
So.
A shit show toy show.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. It was shit themed.
Oh, boy.
So.
Yeah, I heard that story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think lots of people have heard that story. So, all right. Did you guys get anything fun and exciting for Xmas?
We didn't do gifts this year, actually. No. We decided just to do food. Food's expensive, especially when you do the seven fishes. So we just did food, hung out.
Okay.
That was great.
Okay. Did you put food on your bodies and have to like eat it off?
We're not that kind of family.
Oh, I just thought it was you and your husband.
Oh, no.
Okay. Then I did not.
I'm not doing that with grandma.
I mean, you could. Maybe she could show me where the clitoris is.
Maybe.
You know,
listen here, Sonny.
Yeah, knock the cobwebs off it. But
God.
So, and what about you, Brie? Did you get anything fun?
I was actually just recently at a White Elephant, and my husband got the toaster oven.
Yeah.
And I got a Stanley mug, like a coffee mug.
Mm, very nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting.
That's so
exciting. It shows that you're getting older when you're excited about toaster oven and a mug. Adult presents.
What did you get Brian?
Got him. We have an inside joke. And I got him.
It's going to be on the outside here now.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be inside. I love it.
Well, he always talks about his rubber ducky. And I got him rubber duckies. One's a rubber ducky of a mad scientist. One's a rubber ducky of a DJ. And one's a rubber ducky monkey because he likes monkeys.
I really thought it was going to be way better than this.
No, because he always says, like, play with my rubber ducky.
Oh, is that code?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. What is a code for?
I'm surprised he hasn't said it in for review yet, Frank.
Yeah, me too.
Does it go ee?
I hope so.
I don't know if they squeak. I haven't even tested it.
I meant his rubber ducky.
Because I got it from the website that does like those Jeep ducks.
like a dog toy? Like it squeaks like a dog toy? Yeah, like that. That'd be awesome.
You should just like hide him around the house.
You know,
so like,
oh, I should get those like mini ones
in June or something. He's like, where's my, oh, there he is.
So don't ask me how I know this, but I know this. Men who are impotent, they can put basically airbags in the shaft to blow up their penis so they can still have intercourse.
Do you know this from experience?
Yes.
Like those Nike pump shoes?
Yes.
Okay.
So the pump actually goes in the ball bag.
Gross.
So I don't know where the valve is to release. I don't know.
In your butt.
Well, that's where our button is. That's where our G-spot is.
That's why that doesn't exist.
So, no, probably not. But wouldn't it be amazing that if like the pump made the squeak toys sound every time you pumped it up? I think that would be also amazing.
Lordy.
All right. So, well, you know, I'm happy that we're starting the new year off with our old ways.
With a shebang.
Yeah.
With the rubber ducky.
Shebang. Shebang. She.
Forget New Year's resolution. We're just going to do it all the same.
Yeah. Why change something that's perfect?
Yeah.
All right. So, things that keep you up at night, right? We're going to bring this into the new year.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
She's probably going to steal mine again like last year.
Yep.
All of last year.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It's crazy to think like it's likely over 99% of trees that you look at will still be here when you're dead. Or at least like majority of them. Isn't that crazy?
Hold that thought for a second.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
There you go.
That was mean.
You're an ass.
That was mean.
Come on, that was perfect.
No.
That was so perfect. Oh, God.
I actually liked your thought because I do spend a lot of time in the forest. Don't even play some weird clip on me, a big butthole.
You can play the exact same one.
I was going to. Oh, jeez. All right. Yeah, that is true.
But they were
true.
Here before you and they're going to be here after you.
Yeah, yeah.
What all things have they seen and will see?
Do you think they can communicate what they've seen?
Yes.
Yeah? How would they do that? Do you know how?
Well, while they're still alive, or do you mean like after they're dead? I don't know. Like
either way. Oh. Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just asking a silly question.
Well, they do communicate to each other through a root system and through the mycelial network below the soil that they can talk to each other when invasions are coming, or like bug invasions or fire and stuff like that, that surrounding trees can insulate or try and protect themselves with toxins to keep bugs away, or withdraw water from their leaves so that they can put in their roots in case of a fire. After they die or been cut down, they still actually connect to those other trees below ground. And I mean, if you believe in stone tape theory, like, why wouldn't wood be able to do that? If water can retain memory, I would think trees can.
Maybe. But I think the one question I think we all have is, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
A woodchuck would chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. What she said.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that thought.
We need to get the soundboard away from him. I'm afraid of what he's going to do this year.
Yeah, new year.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
And you already know it's mostly going to be with me.
Probably, because he picks on you way too much.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Maybe we all just need a soundboard.
It's equal opportunity here.
We can do that. We can do that. You guys
need to. He's going to have like a foghorn every time we start talking.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well, now?
So I have, I'm trying to think of how to frame this up. Sorry. Maybe I'll just say it. What if I am a non-player character?
You are.
But then what, why do I have thoughts? Am I just, what if I don't even know how to formulate what I want to say, because maybe I am a non-player character. Don't you play any noise clips?
You can tell he really wants to right now. Like, he's looking.
I mean, I feel like most people think in their head, like, I know I'm real. I think this, I think that. But what if I'm just a non-player character?
We are.
So then is anyone the real thing? Is there a reality?
Yeah, there's a reality. I just don't think our characters are in control of it. I think the player characters are the people that are in control.
So is that just a me up there controlling a me down here? Or is that something else controlling all of everything, like little puppet masters?
I think either or. You know, I mean, both have valid hypotheses.
I don't know. But it's kind of a sobering feeling. If I'm just an NPC, then what? I'm nothing. What am I? Is this a repeatable process of code? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. Very possible.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So I will continue to stay up at night because you didn't solve this question for me. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, I got something for you too.
Don't you dare. He's going to play something stupid.
Yep. You can see it in his eyes.
We've already lost the trust in you, and it's been 30 seconds.
I know. That's here we go. That's great.
Okay. This goes in your mouth. This one goes in your ear. And this one goes in your butt.
What the those sticks is that?
What's that?
I have no idea, but I just saw the thing that says this goes in your butt. I'm like, let's see where this goes.
Okay.
All right.
So.
All right. Give me the controls and now you tell us what keeps happening.
Yeah. So recently I was diagnosed with a very mild form of obstructive sleep apnea. So to break down how mild it is. So on average, the normal person will stop breathing less than 5 times an hour. So that's just normal for anyone, right? When I did my sleep study, I was at 6.2 times an hour. And then they want your oxygen level to always be above 90%.
Yeah.
Mine dropped one time for like 30 seconds or like a minute to 87%. So it was mild enough that I don't need the mask, the CPAP machine. Mm-hmm. But so I was able to get a dental appliance.
Yeah.
And I got that on Thursday. It's so hard for me to sleep with that thing in. Like, I wake up halfway through the night and I take it out.
Is it painful?
You know,
doesn't it like pull your jaw forward or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It pulls your jaw forward. But there's different levels. So there's a total of 9 levels. You start off obviously with 1 and you proceed.
And just crank it.
You replace the lever that pushes it forward. So
you should have worn it during this episode. I want to hear what you sound like when you talk.
That's exactly, I think, how it would sound. But like, you don't stop salivating. You know,
the visual I have in my head.
Yeah,
I just, you're the kid with the headgear drooling.
And yeah,
mouth breathing.
Yeah,
I just picture him like dog, like just
yeah, like
the aliens from Simpsons.
Oh, he's just like drooling.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it drives me crazy. So, yeah, that's been keeping me up at night.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So now you're getting less minutes of sleep.
Yes.
Tonight.
Look at me. I'm the woman water partner.
I'm so happy you did one year for yourself.
Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm always an equal opportunist when I make fun of people and me.
No.
Yes, I am. I make fun of me more than anybody else does. I make fun of me more than I make fun of you guys.
I plead the fifth.
You know what?
You were looking for another one.
I was.
We're never going to get on with this episode. We're just going to be audio clips for days.
You know what?
This is an audio clip show today.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, then, you know, we'll see you guys next week. So, all right. So I'm sure if you guys have been listening for a while, you guys have noticed the past few weeks we have commercials.
Yeah.
And hate to say it, but we need to make ends meet. And didn't realize podcasting cost a bit, and we needed to build a revenue stream. So, with saying that, we'll be right back after this. All right. I love those commercials. What did you guys think of them?
Fabulous.
I know.
What does Bree say? Fantastico.
Fantastico.
Yeah. I'm going to buy every single one of those products.
Okay.
Yeah. They all sound very practical and very useful in my everyday life. All right. So, with saying that, what are we talking about today, ladies?
Sorry, you had me laughing a little bit there.
Yeah, I have that effect.
The battle for disclosure.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are we disclosing?
Not what your face is making it look like.
That's too bad.
No. Okay. Digging into maybe the lesser publicized background behind UFO, UAP, USOs, and what actually might be going on, and some documentation that should be coming out very soon, which is why we decided to do this topic today.
Sweet. Bree, do you know anything about the battle for disclosure?
I do not.
Okay. Do you like aliens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you like about them?
They're mysterious.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite alien?
I got one imaginary alien in my head. I think he's got abs.
He's got abs.
Abs for days.
Front and back.
Right. What do you do with this imaginary aliens? Because I know one of your super soaker buttons is abs.
Gross.
You just made it sound way gross. Like,
yeah, that's what I do.
You just ruined it.
I know. I'm trying to ruin abs for you.
You pretty much did.
Sweet. Do the abs tongue punch your spasm chasm?
What? I can't. I told you this year's not going to be any different.
Not at all.
I come to just do this podcast to kind of take a break from my day.
And then what happens?
And I feel like I'm still around my husband.
No.
You're
around somebody much better than your husband. I am way more clever than he will ever be.
Naked.
Just from the waist down. That's why I'm always sitting down.
Winnie the Poohing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always sitting down when you guys come over. I never get up.
Gross.
My hands are never above the table.
Gross. That's so gross.
So yeah, today we're going to be talking about the battle for disclosure. Dr. Stephen Greer. Bree, are you familiar with Dr. Greer and his work?
Nope.
Do you think he's a doctor of medicine, a doctor of dentistry, a doctor of
love,
or a doctor with a PhD?
He's a doctor of love with a PhD.
Yeah. Do you know what a PhD stands for?
Something, 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 doctorate.
Pretty huge.
Oh, God. Again, doctor of love.
Yeah. Yeah. I have two PhDs.
In your fantasies?
No, naked. So we'll be exploring Dr. Stephen Greer's latest documentary, Battle for Disclosure, dissecting his revealing podcast interview with Billy Carson and Blake Cousins, and connecting these discussions to the enigmatic drone phenomenon that's captivated New Jersey residents in recent weeks. So grab your binoculars, or maybe your tinfoil hat, and let's unravel this cosmic mystery together. Oh. All right. So let's start with a brief introduction of Dr. Stephen Greer for those that may be unfamiliar. So Dr. Greer is an ER physician and a UFO disclosure advocate who spent decades shining a light on government secrecy around UFOs, or as they're now called, UAPs and USOs. UAPs are unidentified aerial phenomenon and unidentified submersible objects. What?
Unidentified.
Unidentified.
Listen, it's a new year, so my language stays the same.
You're just reading Breeze Dictionary.
Pretty much. Yep.
Okay, cool.
His documentary, Battle for Disclosure, continues this work with fresh perspectives and shocking revelations. In this documentary, Dr. Greer explores the intricate layers of governmental and private sector cover-ups around UFO technology, whistleblower testimonies, and the manipulation of public perception. He argues that the secrecy is not just about national security, but also about control over advanced technology that could revolutionize energy and propulsion systems. Another major focus of the film is the suppression of revolutionary technology. Greer reveals how corporations with vested interests in fossil fuels and centralized energy systems actively suppress these advancements to maintain control and profit. Through declassified documents and insider accounts, he illustrates how the secrecy surrounding UAPs is not merely a national security issue, but a calculated effort to withhold life-changing technologies from humanity. So I will stop there for a minute. If this is real, okay, and I don't know, and maybe I'll change my mind after this. I don't know. But if this is real.
Sorry, the documentary, what's covered, or aliens and...
Aliens and this technology that's being suppressed in general. If technology that could make our lives better is being suppressed, like some of the things I hear is like zero-point energy,
yep,
right? Where energy can be taken out of the atmosphere, basically,
right,
and just given to whoever.
Ending the use of fossil fuels.
And, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if that is true and being withheld, that is one of the most evil things that a group can do to us.
100%. Not to mention, you know, the poverty that it causes, mm-hmm, and the famine that it causes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just never understood if we have the ability to give something to people for free, why we don't. Now, you can call me whatever you want, but to me, that's just being a humanitarian.
Yeah.
You know, that's no sides of any argument or disagreement. It's literally just being a humanitarian.
Well, think about it. We were born before people were selling water.
Yes, exactly.
Water comes out of the sky, but now it's cost you $5 at a baseball game or whatever.
Right, right.
The plastic doesn't cost $5 to make, so it makes zero sense.
Right, right.
But people will find a way to profit off of anything they possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, in all...
Some will.
Yeah, right. The doctor that came up with the polio vaccine gave it to everyone for free.
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody else about same thing with Amox's penicillin.
Penicillin.
Same thing. He didn't want a penny for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's called being a normal human being.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I digress. So the documentary also highlights the role of media manipulation. Greer shares evidence of coordinated efforts to discredit UFO witnesses and whistleblowers, often painting them as unreliable or mentally unstable. This disinformation campaign serves to bury the truth and perpetuate public skepticism. Notable interviews in the film include four former military personnel who recount encounters with craft performing maneuvers far beyond the capabilities of any known human-made craft. One striking testimony comes from former U.S. Marine Michael Herrera, where he recounts an incident from his deployment in October of 2009 in Indonesia, specifically the island of Sumatra. He and five other members of his squad were on a humanitarian mission which took an unexpected turn when they encountered an unmarked and highly unusual aircraft. He described the craft as a massive triangular-shaped object hovering silently over the jungle. Unlike conventional aircraft, it exhibited no visible means of propulsion or aerodynamic features such as wings or rotors. Its surface was described as smooth, metallic, and reflective, with a faint glow emanating from its underside. The craft's movements defied physics as understood by modern aeronautics, hovering in place before moving with sudden precise shifts that suggested advanced propulsion technology. Herrera states plainly that this craft fit the exact description of what was witnessed by thousands in Arizona and the famous Phoenix Lights back in March 13, 1997. Near the craft, Herrera and his team observed large unmarked crates being loaded into the triangular craft by personnel in unidentifiable uniforms. These individuals carried advanced weapons and did not display any insignias or flags, which added to the mystery of their affiliation. The crates were described as heavy duty and could have contained anything from advanced technology to materials related to black budget projects.
So I want to stop you there. Yep. So also during his interview, he initially thought that it was drugs being moved in these crates, but then came to realize that there actually were humans.
Humans,
women and children.
In the crate.
In these crates.
How did he come to that conclusion?
I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
Okay.
So I'm trying to remember, or at least he believes their crates might. Maybe okay. We'll have to okay. Go back and watch it.
Sure.
But while he was there, these unidentified soldiers who didn't have, like you said, any insignias or you couldn't tell what country they were from, mm-hmm. They surrounded his crew of five.
Okay.
Guns drawn on them and basically saying, we're going to kill you. You shouldn't be here, blah, 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 blah. You know, he said he had a camera on his person. So I don't know if he had like one of those police cams or he had some sort of something on his helmet or whatever recording. Right. But what he described was there were these trucks with these containers and they were driving underneath this hovering craft. They would go to this platform and they would be lifted up.
Mm.
And at one point when the last truck or whatever was under this craft, the bottom platform came and hamburgered, you know, like it sandwiched mm-hmm. down together and it closed and sealed itself. And he said, you know, he was close enough that he could tell that there were rivets on the side of this machine. Like it looked man-made. It wasn't yeah. like one single piece of metal or anything. But anyway, they were surrounded by these other military folks who had guns drawn on them and essentially threatened to kill them, had them turn around. They took the bullets out of their gun. They gave their bullets back to them, but they like put them in a certain spot of their gear so mm-hmm. that it would be obvious if you went to reach for it and reload your gun. They slung their guns on their back. And again, in a way that if you went to grab it, it would be obvious that you were going to make a move. And they said, if you make a move, we're going to kill you. So, but yeah, they said, run for your life, get out of here. And they ran back to they were on a ship docked off of out at sea. So when they made it back, his commanding officer was pissed at them saying, you're back too soon. Why are you here? Why are your guns unloaded?
Mm-hmm.
And he had to report for debriefing and he was handed a NDA that he mm-hmm. had to sign. But the person who handed him the NDA had U.S. military dress clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Whole bunch of ribbons or whatever on his chest, stars on his shoulders, but no name tag. Handed him this NDA. he asked him, who are you? Like, where are you from? What's your name? Whatever. The guy didn't answer, forced him to sign it. And then he walked out the door when after he signed it. So he doesn't even know who he signed this NDA with.
Wow.
He gets back to his bunk and his camera is missing. The SD card is missing. It's in a locked locker. And all of his other guys, all of their phones were missing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Obviously, he explains it way better. But
No, sure.
It was pretty fascinating.
That is very fascinating. I don't think I've heard that story. All right. So another profound testimony comes from a retired Army combat sergeant named D.C. Long. Long describes taking a transport to a highly classified location known as Range 19. This location is literally hidden under a waste management trash dump. Sticking out of one of the trash mounds, he saw a concrete walkway. He was escorted to a freight elevator and went several stories below the surface. When the doors opened, he found himself in a massive concrete bunker that had four Connex shipping containers, a massive boulder, and a large monolithic granite slab, each item with a little black boxes resting on top of them. At a certain point, Long realized that the large slab was elevating slash levitation 10 inches off the ground and nothing propping it up. As he approached this giant stone block, Long says he could feel immense vibrations coming off of it that were incredibly disorienting, and it was completely silent. As he bent down to pretend to tie his shoes, hoping to get a better look at what was going on, he turned his head to look at the large boulder, and it too was levitating. But he also saw a man holding his arms up. As the man moved his arm around the floating boulder, would move with him as if he were guiding it. So it looks like we just figured out how the Egyptians built the pyramids.
Yep.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And so the story gets pretty grim afterwards. So he was there with his father, who only did government contracts. He worked on materials or big machines or whatever. And that's what actually brought them there in the first place. But the escorts who were bringing them to where they were supposed to go, they shouldn't have seen what they saw in this bunker. Mm-hmm. So they continued on and they go down a couple more floors, which is also weird. It's under a trash dump. Like, if you're going to hide something under a trash dump, because who wants to be there?
Right. Agreed. That's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Well, anyway, they go downstairs, they take all their notes on whatever machinery that they're working in. And when they come back upstairs, he said maybe like 10, 15 minutes later, the room was completely empty. There was no noise. Like, they didn't hear boulders and stuff moving around. It was completely silent and the room was completely empty. And then they too were also forced to sign NDAs. Huh. And within a short time afterwards, his father's company and house was completely ransacked. All their stuff was taken, and his father was essentially put out of a job. And they didn't have much to begin with, but they got by, and now they had nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate. Well, all right. So probably the most shocking testimony comes from that of a retired former Navy man and Raytheon contractor, Eric Hecker. Hecker was stationed in Antarctica at the South Pole Station. There he held the highest level of access, holding keys to every single room on the property and familiar with all the technology on the campus as the head of the fire brigade. Hecker discloses that those who worked at the South Pole Station with him almost all suffered from Havana syndrome at one point or another, which I think we went over before, right?
A little bit, yeah.
When the interviewer pressed him further about the going-ons there, he stated three jaw-dropping observations. One, this location has the technological capability to generate earthquakes and can be used as a direct energy weapon system. Two, he also plainly states that not only is the home of the planet's largest telescope, but it also the world's largest phased array transmitter with faster than the speed of light communications through quantum entanglement. He goes on to say, if ships can travel faster than light speed, which we know are out there already, then we have to have a means to communicate with them.
That's a direct quote.
Direct quote. All right. And then number three, occupancy of the South Pole stations does not fall into the hands of national government, but rather the private sector. It is a pay-to-play facility. When Hecker was there, the campus was being operated by Raytheon Polar. Currently, it is being occupied by Lockheed Martin. He has presented all of his information to the Senate Intelligence Committee at the AARO Group. All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office is what it stands for.
So when I watched this part, my jaw, I had to watch it twice. Mm-hmm. Directed Energy Weapon System. Mm-hmm. With earthquakes. So I'm sure if they can do earthquakes, they can probably do something with weather. This is just me speculating on the weather manipulation part. But he straight up said, we have ships that travel faster than the speed of light.
I know.
And we have to be able to communicate with them. He basically called the South Pole Station the International Intergalactic Air Traffic Control for both domestic man-made flights and crafts, mm-hmm. and exotic extraterrestrial, because it uses this neutrino type of sensor that can detect, the word they like to use is exotic engines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's way above my understanding of anything, but that sounds fascinating.
But Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, like Raytheon, it makes all the missiles and ballistics, like mm-hmm. they're one of the major players. So if governments aren't there, and you're giving the private sector of these multi-trillion dollar companies, mm-hmm. you get it for a year, I get it for a year, you get it for a year, and then you can use it as target. Like, I don't know. This part kind of made me nauseous.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think also another reason that that's done in the private sector is that they don't have to answer to any governments.
Right.
Where if it was government facility, they'd have to answer to Congress, the Senate, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so that's their little loophole. Crazy. Dr. Greer also features a poignant interview with a scientist who claims to have worked on extracting energy from extraterrestrial materials. According to the scientist, these materials possess unique properties that could revolutionize our understanding of energy and propulsion if studied openly. One particular striking point Greer makes is how the secrecy extends into the privatization of UFO-related technology, keeping it out of public hands. The implications? Energy independence, zero-point energy, and even interstellar travel are being kept from humanity.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll just keep going on. Recently, Dr. Stephen Greer joined Billy Carson for a deep dive discussion on the On Brent and Blake podcast. The conversation covered a lot of ground, but let's highlight a few key takeaways. First, Greer emphasized the increasing number of whistleblowers coming forward, many of whom have worked within black budget projects. He claims these individuals confirm that advanced technology, some of it extraterrestrial in origin, is being reverse engineered in secret programs. Second, Greer, Carson, and Cousins discussed the psychological operations, or psyops, that manipulate the public perception of UFO phenomena. Greer suggests that the government intentionally stages events to create fear around extraterrestrial encounters, portraying them as threats to justify further secrecy and military spending. One of the most significant updates shared in the interview is the forthcoming release of a comprehensive document detailing evidence from over 723 witnesses. These witnesses include former extremely high-ranking black ops and psyops military personnel, government contractors, and aerospace engineers who have come forward with firsthand knowledge of UAP encounters, covert programs, and the reverse engineering of non-human technology. This document is said to exceed 600 pages and is set to be released to the public between now and the end of January this year. It's already been shared with key members of Congress, international diplomats, and select media outlets. For those eager to access it, Dr. Greer's team will make it available for download on his official site, but with its release, he requests a call to action. Once published, there's urgency to act quickly. He warns that mainstream media and powerful interests may attempt to scrub it from the internet, so please download a copy. We'll include the link on our site once we get our hands on it, so be sure to check back later. Do we have it yet or no?
It's not yet.
Not yet?
No. All right. Keep checking every day.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're like obsessed, aren't you?
Well.
No, it's awesome. I'm happy that you are.
Stuff gets scrubbed. I think that's what drives me nuts. Like,
yeah.
The internet's supposed to be forever. Like, that ugly picture of me, like, in middle school or whatever. Doesn't need to be on the internet forever, but like this type of stuff.
Was there ever really an ugly picture of you? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like
braces, you know, the whole shebang.
Right. I mean, like
with the drool.
Yeah. I didn't have Frank's weird contraption thing, but rubber bands. I had the rubber bands on.
Did you? Oh, you know what? So my thing, she said, if you find your mouth is always open because of it, there's rubber bands that I could attach. There's like two like little clips that I could attach rubber bands to.
That is awesome. Can you take a picture of yourself? Now.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to hear you anymore.
You need to take a picture of yourself with this stuff on.
I'll put it on for you after the show.
Glamour shot.
Yeah. So Dr. Greer, Billy Carson, and Blake Cousins stressed the importance of grassroots action to disseminate this information far and wide. They urge listeners to download, print, and share the document with friends, family, and community leaders. Social media campaigns, email chains, and local discussion groups can help counter the inevitable suppression efforts. Another chilling aspect of the interview is how these three-letter organizations, mainstream media, and what Greer calls the psychopath cabal, plan to weaponize disclosure. He explains that by framing extraterrestrial contact as a global threat, they aim to justify increased military budgets, push for a centralized one-world government, and instill fear among the public. This fear-mongering could lead to a mass surrender of individual rights under the guise of global security, as devised by the United Nations in their Agenda 2030 plan. What's the 2030 plan?
Oh, we're going to do a whole episode on that.
I can't wait. So is this kind of like the New World Order?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, it's wrapped in a pretty bow of like saying we're going to solve hunger and pollution and population and healthcare, but
are they?
Some of the black and white words in there are they're not nice.
I'll believe it when I see it.
They're a little concerning.
Yeah. All right. So Dr. Greer states plainly that the UAP sightings we have been witnessing and hearing about in the media are nothing more than reverse engineered man-made craft. ARV, alien reproduction vehicles. Were you going to say something?
Oh, I just had my AKA in the wrong spot.
No, that's
AKA
fine.
ARV.
Yeah, no worries. Meant to look like the NHI technology, AKA non-human intelligence. This cabal has done such a good job working with military and media outlets to suppress the fact that we have been developing and testing this technology since the 1950s. They have also infiltrated Hollywood's they've also infiltrated Hollywood to precondition us to easily believe that open contact poses an extraterrestrial global threat, a plan 70 plus years in the making. The panelists warned that these entities might stage false flag events, simulated alien attacks, or staged UAP incidents to manipulate public opinion. Greer emphasized that genuine extraterrestrial intelligence poses no threat and that the real danger lies in how disclosure is twisted to serve authoritarian agendas.
Manipulation.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if they have such advanced technologies and they wanted to take over this planet, they could have done so 10 times over already.
Yeah, I always thought that if aliens were visiting us, why would they intercede with our everyday ongoings? You know, it's the same thing that we do to the jungles. We go in there for a set purpose. We don't mess around with the lifestyle of said animals. We pretty much leave them alone, except for destroying their homes. That's a different story. But like, if we're just going in there for research or whatever, we don't like mess around with them. We just let them be. So why would aliens not do the same for us?
Right.
You know, that doesn't make sense.
Well, and another thing that doesn't make sense too is that, again, we can agree that they have technology and intelligence that's far superior than what we have. So if they're coming from across galaxies, light years away, other planets, whatever, and they somehow find our little pebble in the middle of this big open space, why are they crashing here? And the thought is that they're not crashing here. These are man-made test ships that we've been trying to reverse engineer that have been crashing. Mm-hmm. Or our military, our Raytheons, our whatever, are shooting down to obtain that information. But really, at the end of the day, we're the ones who are the threat. Because if they've been coming here and they've just been watching, and we're shooting stuff out of the sky and we're throwing up bombs here and there, like, we're the threat, not them.
Yeah, you know what also told us that we are the threat? Scooby-Doo.
Brian?
No.
Oh.
No, the actual cartoon, Scooby-Doo. Remember, whenever they unveil the monster, it's always a human.
It's always a human. It's yeah. Yep. That's a good... there's a psychological little nugget there.
Scooby-Doo. I like that little twist.
Yeah. The enemy's always within.
Yeah. So, you know, to your comment about why are they crashing here. I don't remember if I said this in a past episode before or not, but I think they're just like teenage aliens out drunk driving. And, you know, they're, let's go take a look at these fucking idiots. And then they are flying and they're drunk and they crash.
No.
No?
All right. No, they're the teenage human beings who are drunk and crashing them.
They could be teenage aliens.
Sure, but I'm sure a newborn alien's smarter than us.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But if he's drunk, he's drunk.
I think they're above that. They don't need...
You don't know that.
Yeah. They just get high on life.
On life?
Oxygen.
Well, see, then definitely they're crashing.
Oh, yeah.
They're breathing the air and intoxicating.
Yeah, well.
Or maybe they just kind of like watch me and I'm so intoxicating.
Yeah, maybe they're just enamored by you.
I hope there's like hot aliens. Like Jenny McCarthy aliens, you know?
The aliens with abs.
Front and back.
Hitting that spasm chasm, I see.
Oh, yay, yay.
All right. So, yeah. So, again, real quick, we're just going to take another brief break here. So, we'll catch you on the other side. Hey, guys. Welcome back.
You buying all of those?
I'm buying every single fucking one of those.
There's not going to be any room in this office once you start, like, buying all the things and stuff.
Oh, no. I'll get, like, a whatchamacallit.
A candy bar?
No. A thing.
A thing?
A pod.
Oh, you'll just get a pod.
A storage pod?
Yeah, storage pod. Okay. Throw it out in the front yard.
Or are you going to make it like a gift for everybody?
Maybe.
Yeah, eventually.
Maybe.
Because you know, like all those people that like to stock up on like greeting cards.
Yeah, maybe that's where I'll just keep you two and take you guys out whenever we got to do a podcast.
No.
All right, so next. So we're going to pivot now to something closer to home. The mysterious drone spotted over New Jersey in recent weeks. Residents have reported seeing formations of unidentified drones, often flying in coordinated patterns, sometimes at speeds and altitudes that defy conventional drone capabilities. Witness accounts describe these drones as eerily silent, displaying synchronized movements that suggest advanced technology. Some witnesses have even reported unusual lighting patterns on the craft, which seem to change colors or pulse rhythmically, further adding to the enigma. These drones are often seen at night, flying over urban and rural areas alike, leaving residents baffled and authorities with no clear explanation. What's intriguing is how these sightings align with themes from Greer's work. Could these be government or private sector tests of advanced aerial technology? Are they part of the controlled disclosure Greer speaks of? Or perhaps more tantalizing, could they represent non-human intelligence observing us? To add to the mystery, official explanations are scarce. Authorities have suggested that they might be hobbyist drones, but the patterns and behavior described by witnesses tell a different story. If you're in New Jersey and have seen these drones, we'd love to hear your account. Go ahead and email us at frank@fringebeyondlimits or brianna@fringebeyondlimits or lynette@fringebeyondlimits.
What do you make of the drones? Have you been following any of it?
Yeah, so it's crazy because they vary so much in size to where like a normal size drone to like...
Didn't they say like one's like the size of a bus or an SUV?
Yeah, one the size of an SUV.
Yeah.
I don't know what hobbyist drones are the size of an SUV.
Right, yeah.
You know, so...
Especially in Jersey, they don't have, like, they don't have your storage pod in the backyard. Are you going to store an extra SUV? Are you going to park it on the street?
What if they park it in the Barrens, where the Jersey Devil lives?
Maybe. The Jersey Devil's guarding it?
Maybe the Jersey Devil made it with a drone, and this is the...
A cyborg devil?
It's a cyborg devil.
Yeah, the Jersey Devil's actually an alien from outer space.
Probably not.
Hey, you never
Could
know.
Be. Could be.
I mean, it is a possibility.
Everything's like how some people think like Bigfoot could be.
Actually, I know we've always said that we're not going to talk politics, but I am going to talk politics. I am voting.
Who's your baruga ruga sound?
I don't know, but I'm going to vote for Bigfoot from now on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
can't wait.
Bigfoot 2028.
And then running mate Yeti.
Yeah. 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 Bigfoot and Yeti.
All right.
So that's who I'm voting for. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah. So I don't think they're hobbyist drones. It's so crazy because not even the authorities in Jersey have an explanation.
Well, that's, I feel like they're trying to, like the word drone just recently, at first they said, we don't know what this is. And then they just, all of a sudden the word drone gets thrown around all of a sudden. And again, now they're like, oh, it's a hobbyist. Like it's just, something just doesn't feel right. Like they said they did not know what this was.
Right.
And then they realized, oh shit, we can't tell the public we don't know what this is because then we're going to look stupid when it comes to that's our job and we're supposed to be defending airspace and stuff like that. So just like with the balloon thing in Roswell, oh, it's a balloon.
Right.
Or the thing floating over our country, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah, China's balloon. Yeah, we shot that down. Why are we not shooting these down?
But after it had fully cleared our country. Like,
sure. Sure, but still, why are we not shooting this down?
Because we know what it is. Yeah. Somebody knows what it is.
Yeah, yep. Well, you know, I want to know what it is.
Go catch it. Go stand out there and beam me up, Scott.
Should I, like, get a big, like, butterfly net?
Yep.
And try to catch it?
Okay, you can try that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So let's try that next time we're all in Jersey.
Sounds like a plan. Oop. Stan.
So in early January 2024, a video showing a 10-foot-tall alien outside Miami's Bayside Marketplace went viral, sparking widespread speculation about extraterrestrial activity. The footage, which depicted a large, shadowy figure amidst a significant police presence, led to various conspiracy theories on social media. However, the Miami Police Department dispatched more than 60 police cars were to manage the situation involving approximately some teenagers engaging in disruptive activities. The media promptly addressed these rumors, clarifying that the incident involved a group of approximately 50 teenagers engaging in disruptive behavior, including setting off fireworks and looting stores. The substantial police response was to manage the situation effectively. The alleged alien figure in the video was determined to be a misinterpretation of shadows cast during the commotion.
So I think this is just another one where you could say you don't send 60 police officers for kids causing a ruckus.
No.
Maybe if there's 50 of them, but
maybe if there's gunfire.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But there was also like everyone's phones were confiscated or the videos that they took inside the mall. Mm-hmm. And then there, those videos were all pulled down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have we seen the Luigi Mangione video? Like that video hasn't been pulled down and you straight up see him shooting somebody on television.
Yeah.
But if these kids were shooting off fireworks, you're not going to show those videos. You're going to take all those videos down. Wrong.
Right.
It's just the math ain't mathing on that one.
No.
It make no sense.
Yeah, there's way too many subtractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one, you know.
I don't know what, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but the reason that it's all being squashed is weird.
I agree. Have you guys ever seen the video where they play all these different news networks? And they're all saying
like the montage
verbatim, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
From, and it's not even the same news channel.
No, it's across the country.
Yeah. At different outlets.
Yeah.
All saying the exact same verbiage.
Yeah. And that like Brady Bunch type of grid. Where,
Yeah. It's so crazy. So, yeah. All right. So next, May 2024, Jones Beach, New York. During a Blue Angels air show over Memorial Day weekend, a UFO was captured flying past the jets. The unidentified object was observed at an altitude between 36,500 to 41,000 feet. This event is part of an increasing trend in UFO reports in New York, which saw 30 sightings in 2023. near New York City in recent months, a Pentagon report disclosed a near miss between a passenger airliner and a cylindrical UFO over the Atlantic Ocean near New York City. This incident is under investigation by the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, ARRO, and is among 757 cases reported, with this being the only one posing a potential flight safety issue. April 2023 in the Middle East, the Pentagon released footage captured by an MQ-9 drone depicting a metallic orb-like UAP. Despite analysis, officials have been unable to identify the object, highlighting the challenges in UAP identification. The Department of Defense's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office has received over 1,200 UAP reports since July 2022. While many have been explained as balloons, drones, or airborne debris, a small percentage remain unexplained, underscoring the need for continued investigation. These sightings have prompted increased scrutiny from both governmental and civilian organizations, leading to public hearings and reports aimed at understanding the nature and origin of UAPs. The growing number of reports and the attention they receive indicate a significant shift towards addressing these phenomena with greater transparency and scientific rigor. So how do these pieces fit together? Greer's documentary and podcast interview emphasize the covert development of advanced technologies and the narratives used to control public perception. The New Jersey drones, whether human-made or otherwise, might be a small part of this larger puzzle. Dr. Greer has often warned that such phenomena may not always be what they seem. He posits that these drones could be part of a staged operation, a quote-unquote warm-up to acclimate the public to the idea of advanced aerial craft, potentially laying the groundwork for a larger, more sinister false flag event. Greer believes that these sightings might be tied to man-made craft designed to mimic alien technology, controlled by entities with the intent of creating fear and manipulation. The ultimate goal of such events, according to Greer, is to consolidate power by promoting a narrative of a global extraterrestrial threat. This plays into the hands of those seeking increased military spending, a centralized one-world government, and the erosion of individual freedoms. By presenting these drones as precursors to alien invasion, the cabal can drive humanity into a state of fear, making people more willing to surrender their rights in exchange for perceived security. Could they be testing the waters for a more significant disclosure event, or as some suggest, could they be probing exercises for something more profound, a signal of extraterrestrial presence? Are these drones over New Jersey a harbinger of this strategy? The timing and nature of the sightings certainly raise questions. If these are man-made craft, who is controlling them, and why are they being so prominently displayed now? And if they're not man-made, what message is being sent? To add intrigue, official responses have been vague, with authorities offering little more than dismissive explanations about hobbyist drones or atmospheric phenomena. Yet the sophistication of these sightings defies such simple answers. If you're in New Jersey and have seen these drones, we'd love to hear your account and compare notes. What you've witnessed could be a piece of a much larger puzzle. While we can't answer these questions definitively, we can encourage curiosity, skepticism, and open dialogue. The possibility of a false flag operation isn't just a fringe idea. It's a real strategy that has been documented historically. Greer warns us to stay vigilant and critically analyze the narratives being presented. The truth, as always, is often hidden in plain sight. Were you going to say something?
I was just looking at your face.
Oh, God, it's pretty. Before we wrap up, let me ask you, what do you think is the truth behind these drones, the secrecy, and the bigger picture of UFO disclosure? Share your theories and experiences with us on our website, social media, or email us at frank@fringebeyondlimits.com. Also, if you haven't already, check out Dr. Stephen Greer's Battle for Disclosure. It's a must-watch for anyone curious about what might be lurking in the shadows of our government and skies. We will certainly post links to the documentary, which can be found on Apple TV and Prime Video. The podcast YouTube podcast interview with the Disclosure Manifesto once it gets released. So what are you guys' thoughts?
I just wanted to come out so I can read it.
Well, he says that there's like diagrams and schematics and stuff mm-hmm. like that, photographs and
yeah.
No, I just want to see what's in there.
For me, the diagrams and schematics won't mean anything because I don't have the mind to know what the hell I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, all the words I can read, as I've done so eloquently here today.
All the words.
Brie? Hmm? Yeah. Do you have a thought?
Thanks. No, I just think it's suspicious that, like, are they trying to hide it? If they are hiding it, why are they, like, the fact that, like, they're trying to erase something, like you mentioned earlier, erase it, but something common that's not, I don't know how to put my thoughts into words right now.
Like right now or most of the time?
Again,
be nice.
Always mean to me.
You make it so easy. So keep going. I want you to keep going.
I don't
going.
Know how like, to, I'm trying to figure out how like to.
Don't, I know, I understand.
I don't know. Yeah, I just think it's suspicious that they're trying to cover things up.
Okay. Why do you think they're trying to cover it up?
I'm wondering if some of it is like, they are trying to do things or whatever. They're just not ready to everyone to know because they don't know themselves. So they don't know how to explain it. If that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If they do know what's going on, let's say that they do know the origins of this and you know, everything that these beings are about, right? Let's say they've been in contact with them for 50 years and they kind of know everything, but they're still keeping it under tight wraps. Why do you think they would still be keeping that all secret?
That's a good question. My guess would be, playing devil's advocate, would be like they don't think that everyone's ready, because sometimes when certain information is leaked, there's a lot of people out there that like to take it, the information, and go ballistic over it and make it bigger than what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they are trying to keep it or trying to figure out a way to expose it without people freaking out.
Do you think that people, I mean, yes, people will, but do you think as a majority that the human population is ready for truth like that to be seen and heard or displayed?
I think it's 50-50. I feel like half of the people are ready and half of the people will never be ready. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where majority of the people are ready.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Anything else, ladies?
No? Nope. I was trying to think of something funny. I got nothing.
You got nothing? Okay. I didn't want to cut you off. All right. So, yeah, this was a great little episode about UAPs, UFOs, Dr. Greer, and everything that's been going on in Jersey.
You know,
it's been, I always thought that UFOs were probably time travelers coming back from the future to either, like, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, like seeing history unfold in real time, or since there's been a lot of claims that they've abducted people and taken their semen and eggs, that there was maybe some sort of evolutionary bottleneck in the future to where they just needed more genetic material to be able to procreate and make their genes more diverse.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, if you go along that time traveler thought path, there's a lot that say that these extraterrestrials are just us in the future.
No, no.
They've evolved where their brain capacity is stronger, their visual mm-hmm. capacity is stronger, their bodies are able to withstand light speed travel, you know, that's why they're more slight in their build and
mm-hmm.
they don't need food. They have smaller mouths and things of that nature. So if they're really just us from the future and they've disabled our atomic bombs and we try to blow them up and things like that, they're basically our big brother, big sister out there yeah. trying to say, stop being stupid.
Yeah. Like if they are actually, regardless, if aliens are real, I would just want them to smell their dick. So I know what it smells like.
I'm done.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. Again, my name is Frank.
My name is Brie.
And this is Lynette.
And you've been listening to Fringe
Beyond Limits.